Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's good to be in Hot Springs tonight. The Lord knows how to direct and order our steps. I was supposed to be in Mississippi tonight, and a little bit of a change of plans came into play, and was able to come and be with you tonight. And I feel like God is in it. Praise the Lord. I believe God's going to do something wonderful before we leave here tonight. And so glad to have my entire family with me tonight. It is a rare occasion these days that we all get to travel together. But this one's close enough we was able to do it. And so very thankful for my children, Dakota and Garrett, and that new Holland, Nolan. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Love and appreciate my wife. I do want to give double honor tonight to your good pastor, First Lady of this church, their entire family. What tremendous leadership this church is blessed with tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. So good to have them in our life. And I feel the same way about your pastor. And there's very few people in life that you develop a relationship with, that you feel like you can ride the river with them. And Brother Moats has been one of those kind of people. And I love and appreciate them very, very much. I'm so grateful for their friendship. Excited for what God is doing in Hot Springs. That's right. Now, this is not my first service in the building, but this will actually be my first time to preach in the building. You folks, the last time I was here, we just shouted it out. I thought we was going to do it tonight. I'd been all right with that. Amen. But I do feel like the Lord's got a little something for us tonight. And I feel like God will help us if we'll just open up and receive it. Hallelujah. 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 If you have your Bible tonight, 2 Kings chapter number 6, I give honor to all the ministry in this church, all the laity ministry of this church. I appreciate every single one of you for being so supportive of your leadership, being in alignment with them. Thankful for what God is doing in Amity. Amen, Brother Jared Moats and his family working and laboring there, continuing. Pick up where Brother Darren Moats had left off. Amen. Thank God for that. Still going forward. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 And we love and appreciate all of them tonight. These Moats are just good folks. Praise God. Amen. They're just good folks. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings chapter number 6. I will hasten to the word of the Lord here tonight. Scripture says, therefore, verse 14, sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. Somebody say they were surrounded. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And I'll give my thought here in just a moment, but I do want to try to convey to you something that I feel like will help you to go forward in victory and power and anointing tonight. Is anybody hungry for the word of the Lord tonight? Why don't you just lift up your hands right now and ask the Lord to help us all in this place tonight to receive it. Come on, lift up your voices together in one mind and one accord. God, come on, make a connection with your neighbor right now. Pray that God would help them tonight. Lord, bless my brother. Bless my sister. Come on, somebody pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. Somebody tap into the Spirit here tonight. God, do what you want to do. Lord, minister to every need in this house. God, work and move in this place in a mighty way. Thank you, God, for what you've already done. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to do. Oh, in Jesus' name. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a mighty hand clap of praise as we're seated tonight in the name of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Amen. I'm still of the understanding, persuasion here tonight that our perception can make such a difference. Perception can make you see situations differently. Perception can change the way that you view people. Perception tonight can change the way that you look at your environment, your surroundings. Positives can unfortunately become negatives if your perception is not right. Your vision can become skewed by your trouble and by your problems to a point that you lose hope and even your faith becomes assailed because of a negative perception of life. Positives, again, can become negatives, but I'm glad that you can turn things around with that. And negative situations can take on positive connotations. Things that look hopeless, once you look through a prism of perception that God would set before you, can change the way that everything looks tonight. I've lived long enough to know that any number of people get together, there are all manners of perceptions that are moving in the building. There are as many different frames of mind in this house tonight as there are bodies sitting on these pews tonight. Some of us had good days today. Some of us had not so good days today. Some of us had a good week thus far, and some of us feel like we are clawing and grabbing for every inch of ground that we can get this week. And if you live long enough, the shoe will be on the other foot. You'll become the person that feels like you're ahead of the game and that you've got things all together and you're feeling real good about life. You just got to live a little while where you have to allow your perception to have to be worked on just a little bit. Perception is something that is developed very early on in the life of any human being. Our little new baby that we have, like his brothers, he is already developing his depth perception. We have already had to reacclimate to the fact that you better push things a little bit farther away again, or it's liable to end up in your lap. We are learning that he's already exploring the depth of his perception with those little flailing hands. And that is something that we all did. We don't remember it, but we all did that as children coming up. We developed that perception. It's very important in life to develop that as you go forward in the natural. But beyond all of that tonight, it is imperative that we develop our spiritual perception tonight. It is important tonight how that we view life. It is important how we view people. It is important how we view the church that we attend tonight. It's important how we view our pastor. It's important how we view our brothers and our sisters. Your perception tonight is important. Come on, you ought to look at your neighbor and say, it's important. That perception is important in your life. Amen. Without a vision, the prophet said, the people perish. The children of Israel had a little trouble with their perception as they came into the entrance of the promised land, and they went in, they sent the 12 spies in to spy out the land, and when they looked at what was available to them, some of them developed the perception that this is just not possible. There's no way that we can conquer these people. Did you see how big those men are over there? Did you see those walled cities that are over yonder? Did you notice those chariots that were racing around the top of that one city over there? There's no way that this little former ragtag group of former slaves can go in and possess the land. But while there were some, the majority, mind you, were saying we cannot do it. They had incorrect perception of themselves. They said we look like grasshoppers. He said, they got to talking amongst themselves. They said we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And then they said we're grasshoppers in our own sight. Thank the Lord somebody wasn't listening to that report. Thank the Lord there was a couple of fellas that said, you know what? Y'all are saying we can't, but I just feel like we can. And you may not feel capable of it, and you may not feel like that we're able to do it, but bless your heart, I'm going to hold on to the word of the Lord in my life. I'm not looking at myself like a grasshopper. I am a child of God. I don't care what the devil told you today. You are a child of God. I don't care what you came in here carrying tonight. You belong to the Lord. It don't matter what folks said about you. Amen. It matters what God thinks about you. But I want to tell you tonight, it matters what you think about yourself. It matters. Somebody say it matters. Some said we can. Some said we can't. But what determined the victory was when somebody said, we're going to do this. If we got to do it right by ourselves. Joshua and Caleb stood tall amongst those that were shrinking back and saying, we've got a negative perception of this situation in our life. Oh, God. You know, the devil wants to keep us from seeing things right. You know, that's the number one thing that the devil uses on people's minds is blindness. Bible said the God of this world, that's talking about the devil, little g there, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which, notice, believe not. That's a part of that perception business, is how you believe and how you consider things. He said he's blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil don't want you to realize that you can get right with God. The enemy does not want you to believe that you can be set free. The enemy does not want you to know that your family can be mended and your marriage can be healed. The devil don't want you to know that you can shake off the chains of bondage and be set free. Jesus, when he began his public ministry, one of the very things that he addressed was the fact that he was sent to bring about the recovering of sight to the blind. And yes, the Lord healed physical blinded eyes, but the Lord has opened many more spiritually blinded eyes than he has naturally blinded eyes. I want to tell you tonight, you may not be able to see very good with your natural eyes, but you can get your perception right and get your faith right, and you can pray for somebody and cancer be healed. You can pray for somebody and the flu be healed when you get your perception right. Perception matters tonight. It matters greatly. I believe tonight that one of the reasons why the devil tries so hard to get us distanced from the church and to keep us away from the house of God is because that it's in the house of the Lord that our perception is tuned correctly. Hallelujah. It's in the house of God that we receive the direction that we need, that we get the vision that we need to go on another mile. I hope that before this service is over with, if you came in here shucked over and feeling as though that you can't make it and you're not going to get through, I hope before this service is over with tonight that you squared your shoulders and your heads back up and you hit Thursday head on knowing that God's on my side. God's going to bring me through and God's going to bring me out. Come on, you got to change the way you're looking at things. You got to change the way that you're seeing life tonight. Oh, come on. Come on, I feel like we need to pray that through for just a minute. God, touch my mind. God, touch my spirit. God, touch my heart. Help me, Lord, to see it right. Woo. You know, the enemy will try to, he'll try to get you away from your man of God. He'll try to make it sound like that pastor don't know what's best and pastor don't know what he's doing. But the enemy knows if he can silence the voice of the man of God in your life, he's got you defeated. He's got you beat. Hallelujah. Bible tells us that in our text tonight that Elijah and this servant had went into the city of Dothan. And the Bible says that it was during a time that Syria was warring against Israel. And the Syrian king had taken counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the Bible says that Elisha, the man of God, sent to the king of Israel saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel had enough sense to listen to the man of God. And he didn't go to the place that he had originally thought to go, that he had been warned of, and saved himself. And it didn't just happen once or twice. It was on multiple occasions that God would speak through Elisha and give direction to the king of Israel. And this stirred the king of Syria up, because he started wondering. He started thinking about it. He's like, it would just seem like a fluke thing the first time, but another time, maybe. But then a third time rolled around, and it seemed like he was being routed every time that he turned around. And this Syrian king called a meeting together, and he began to talk to his generals or whatever it was that he got together, his servants, and he said unto them, "Which one of you," I'm paraphrasing, "but which one of you are on Israel's side?" He couldn't figure it out, Pastor. He said, What's going on here? We're trying to get a victory, and seems like God's people's winning every which way we turn. Praise God. That's what happens when you tune in to the voice of the Lord. Praise God. The Lord will help you to rout your adversary. The Lord will deliver you out of the hand of the enemy. The Lord will bring you out. Oh, I know the devil will work on us. I know the devil will whip us. I know the devil will fight against us. But at the end of the day, the devil don't have the victory. At the end of the day, we can shout and sing the victory even if we don't feel like we've got it, because we know who's going to win. We know who's coming out on the top. We know where we're at tonight. Ooh. He said, who's on Israel's side? And man, I could just see, I can see them guys. I don't know if they had a conference table or not. They was probably in a tent, so they probably didn't. But I can see them all. They probably nervous. You know, back then it was a lot different. Because if you got on the king's bad side, he'd just give them the signal. It'd be the end of that fella. And so one of them guys, he had to muster up enough gumption to finally open up his mouth and say, King. And that king's probably saying, yep, here he is. This is the man. This is the one. He's been letting them know. He's been telling them. He says, King, it's not that we're against you. It's that there's a prophet over there in Israel that the people's got enough sense to listen to. And he's telling them the stuff you're doing in your bedchamber. He's letting them know all your business. And he's letting them know that you don't go over here and go over there. You make sure you do it this way, and everything will be all right. And the king of Assyria, I don't really know what his reaction was. I don't really know what his thought processes were. But it is of interest to me that he said, I want you to find where this preacher's at. And he didn't say go kill him. He said go get him and bring him to me. I think there was something inside of that man that wanted to try to take the voice of the man of God away from the people. Oh yeah. The devil wants to do everything he can to try to silence the voice of the man of God in your life. He wants to do all he can to try to distance you from the man of God and separate you from what's going to help you to make it all the way in. Hallelujah. And so he said, you get the chariots and you get the whole army together and y'all go down to Dothan. Now, there are scholars that believe that Dothan was the primary residence of Elisha. I don't know if that's so or not, but Elisha obviously had a residence there because he was in a house of some sort there. And so they are dispatched to go fetch Elisha. I don't know if you've ever caught it or not, but it's interesting to me that he sent the entire army down there to get one man. He sent his chariots, which was the equivalent of a tank today back then. He sent the chariots. He sent the armed men down there. He said, y'all go get this preacher named Elisha and bring him to me. I just want to tell you tonight that the enemy is a lot more concerned about you than what you think. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a lot more concerned with your perception than what you think. Hallelujah. He wants to do his dead level best to try to skew that perception and jade that perception and cause you to lose your hope and your faith in God. And he'll take out all the stops to try to affect your faith and your confidence in God. He'll send down what looks like an entire army to try to put a damper on your faith and your hope. The Bible says that early the next morning that the servant of Elisha gets up. I don't know who beat the other one up first. I don't know if Elisha had already been up before the servant, or if the servant got up before Elisha. The Bible doesn't make that very clear. But the scripture says that the servant went and he looked out the window. I don't know if he went to the sink to wash the coffee pot out. I don't know if, I don't know. I'm not sure where it was that he spied it, but somewhere or another, a glint off of a shield or off of one of them chariot wheels caught his attention. And he maybe wiped the sleep out of his eyes a little more. And he looked out the window again. And he realizes this is the Syrian army that's come to attack this city called Dothan. And this man, his perception is just what he is seeing at the moment. He is so caught up with what is transpiring and what is taking place that his heart sinks within him and he becomes full of fear. I want to tell you today, tonight, in this place, that fear is something that we all have to deal with from time to time. And generally, it comes along and affects us at the worst moments when our perception is not what it needs to be. When our thinking is not the way that it ought to be. When we are caught up with our trouble. When we are caught up with our problems, our sickness and our circumstance. When we look at it, all we can see is that we are surrounded. And it looks like we're going to be destroyed. Oh, we've all been where that servant's been. But I want you to know tonight, again, the enemy is so concerned about you that he would try to take out all the stops to affect your faith and pull you down. You're not just some little peon. You are a child of God. You are intimidating to hell tonight. You may not feel like you got much to offer, but I want to tell you tonight in the Holy Ghost, you are a powerhouse in God. You are anointed. You are a child of God. You don't have to be afraid. Come on, somebody give God praise. We've all been like that, fella. We've all felt surrounded before. We've all felt as though that we are going under. But God can let you have an encounter right in the midst of that hot trial that changes your perception completely. Thank you, Lord. You may feel like you don't matter. You may feel like tonight that you are not a threat to the enemy. But I want to awaken you tonight to who you are in God. Hallelujah. Where's that young lady that just got baptized in Jesus' name? Where are you at? Stand up, girl. Hallelujah. Hey. Let me tell you, I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. And forgive me if I am embarrassing you. But you are a child of God. You are a child of God. You know what you did? Hold on, church. When they called that name over you tonight, that wasn't just some liturgical deal. When they called that name over you, you took on the family name. You're part of the family of God. And when your feet hit the floor in the morning, hell's going to take notice. You just get up and say, I'm going to live for God today. If you got to take it 1 minute at a time, do it. But you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got some power. You got power over the devil. You got power over sin. You got power over condemnation. What are you doing? Let the devil make you afraid. What are you doing? Let the devil scare you. You are God's son. You are God's daughter tonight. My Lord, have mercy. What does that Bible say? To as many as it believed on him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. What you need to do is you need to just tell the devil, take a hike. I know who I am. I know who I am. I belong to God. I wish I could tell you one time and do it for him, but he's stubborn. He's always got another one down the pipe somewhere that'll come at you tomorrow. But you got to tell that one to take a hike too and let him know, I belong to Jesus. I don't belong to you. I'm a part of the kingdom of light, not the kingdom of darkness. You're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong house. Find you somebody that'll listen to your lies. I am a child of God. Woo! Boy, I feel the witness of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Somebody needs to shake that lying devil off. Somebody needs to kick the devil off your mind and shoulder and let him know I am a God child tonight. I belong to him tonight. You got to wake up to who you are. He comes running in there. I'm just about done. He comes running in there to Elisha. Man, he's in panic mode. What are we going to do? I like that King James English. He said, how shall we do? How shall we do? That newfangled version would say, what are we going to do, man? What are we going to do? He come in there, and he's saying, what in the world are we going to do? Have you seen what's outside? Have you seen what's going on in the world? Have you seen what's taking place before our very eyes? Don't you know that it looks like they're going to take us out? Don't you know that it looks like we're going to go under? Oh, Jesus. And sometimes our focus gets on the who and the what and the when. Our focus gets so centered on what's against us and what's not working currently. And what's not moving in our favor at the moment? Oh, can we be real tonight? Can we be real and honest enough to admit that we've all been in that position? But I have found that when I get in those positions, if I'll tune my ear in, God's fixing to talk to me. I'm preaching to you where I've been living. You tune your ear in those low points, God's fixing to give you a direct word. I feel like God's giving it to somebody right now. I feel like the Holy Ghost is speaking to somebody right now. The enemy's had a heyday in your spirit, but tonight the buck stops. Tonight, you're going to put the devil on the run. Tonight, you're going to put him under your feet. It just kind of leapt out to me before service again what the word of the Lord said. But before he could get his perception right, he had to hear the word of the Lord first. And the word of the Lord to him first said, you got to deal with that fear. He said, fear not. That was the first thing right out the chute of the mouth of the man of God to him. Fear not. Remember who you are. Remember what you've got. Remember what name was called over you that night when you were baptized. Remember what it was the day you got the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues. Remember who you are. Fear not. Oh, tonight somebody just needs to stir up the gift inside of you and quit being afraid. Quit being fearful. Because see, if you got fear working, faith has a hard time operating. It does. When fear is having a heyday, faith has a hard time flowing. And again, before you can get that perception right, you got to get the fear dealt with. Enough of that. Tired of that. Weary with that. Away with that. Praise God. Fear not. And then he gives them a little more insight. Now, all the servant can see right now is the army that's outside surrounding the city. But the man of God tells him, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I know it looks like they've got the upper hand. I know it looks like everything's going their way, but just hold on. God ain't done yet. You just hold on. God's not finished yet. I know it looks like everything's going to hell in a handbasket, but you just hang on, Bubba. You just hang on, sister. God's going to have the last say so. There's more on our side than's on their side. I don't care how many devils has come against you. I don't care how many devils have lied against you. God's got more for us than what's against us. Come on, it's going to be all right, sister. It's going to be all right, brother. Yes, sister. Yes, sister. It's going to be all right. It don't matter what it looks like to the natural eye. Fear not. They that's with us are more than they that are against us. Woo! You just need to remind that old lying devil that's troubling you. God's on my side, Bubba. God's on my side. You couldn't tell the truth standing on a stack of Bibles. And let me tell you something, you lying, filthy devil. You're not a true prophet. What the devil's been telling you is not the way it's going to be. What the enemy's been whispering to you at night on your pillow, making you toss and turn, that's not the way it's going to be. Hey, the very best prophet that the devil can belch out is a false prophet. He does not have the gift of prophecy. He does not have the ability to tell you how it's going to be. But let me tell you something, beloved. You can open up your mouth and you can tell the devil how it's going to be. You can open up your mouth and the spirit of prophecy can get on you and you can tell him how it's going to be. My God, I feel the touch of the Lord here tonight. Amen. You can rise up and know God's going to fight your battle. Woo! God's going to fight your battle. He said, once you get the fear out of the way, now you can have the understanding that there's more going for you than what you even think. It's not as bad as you think it is. It's going to get better. And then thank God for a praying preacher. Thank God. Thank God for a pastor that loves you enough to pray for you. And the Bible said Elisha prayed for the servant. He didn't tell him, what, man, you loser? Get out of here. He didn't do him that way. He said, I want this man to see what I'm seeing. I want him to understand that we're not just whistling Dixie and saying this stuff just to get a response. I'm telling you tonight that God has got more working for you than what's been working against you. God's got more that's coming together for you behind the scenes than what you can even imagine tonight. Come on, church. Come on, sister. You've been in the mully grubs long enough. You've been down long enough, brother. It's time to rise up and catch a hold of your faith tonight. It's time to rise up and understand. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to live in fear. God's on my side. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Musicians come. Open his eyes. Open his eyes that he can see what I'm seeing. And at that very moment, his carnal eyes, the veil was torn loose from them. And he was able to look into the spirit realm. And in the hills round about Dothan, they could see the chariots of fire. You know, one angel killed over 20,000 Assyrians. And God dispatched an absolute army of angels to surround the city of Dothan and surround these two men that were gathered there. The Bible tells us that Elisha looks at the situation. He's not afraid, not one bit. He understands who he is and what God's doing. And then I want you to notice what God does. The perception of the enemy at that point was, we're here to take these men into custody and we're going to take them back to the Syrian king. But the enemy does not have the final say in how things are going to turn out for you. And Elisha walks out, and Elisha speaks prophetically over them that they're going to be blind. And all of them are now smitten with blindness. Their perception has now been darkened. And the prophet Elisha and his servant are now in a superior position because now this army is completely blind. They cannot see. Elisha walks out. So funny to me. He walks out and he says, "Who y'all looking for?" Hey, the enemy didn't recognize his voice. Think about that. The enemy didn't recognize the voice of Elisha. And Elisha says, "I'll take you to him. Just follow me." And can you get it in your mind's eye as this big burly group of men with their chariots and their armor clinking around, they're having to walk and be led by the hand like little children? The Bible tells us that Elisha takes them to the king of Israel. Hasten on here tonight, and I've got to be done. They look at this situation whenever Elisha gets them there. And Elisha says, "Now, Lord, open their eyes. Their sight is restored." This is in your Bible, folks. This is in your Bible. Their sight is restored. And the leadership there, the king and such, he says, "Do you want us to destroy these people?" Elisha says, "No, don't destroy them." He says, "Make them sit down at a table." Hallelujah. He says, give them something to eat. Set them all down." People of God, I just can't help it. It's just on me tonight, but I'm telling you, that just brings back to my remembrance, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." God was just making it clear to the adversary, you don't have the last say-so. You don't get to pick and choose how this battle's going to go. Stand with me tonight. And I've come to preach to you in this house. The devil don't get the last say-so in what's going on in your life currently. And what's going on in your circumstances right now. It may look real bleak. It may look real dark. But you hear the word of the Lord tonight. Don't you be afraid. Don't you be cast down. There's more that's going for you than that's against you. Everything's going to be all right. Just keep your confidence in God. God's for you tonight. God's working for you tonight. Come on, lift up your voices to the Lord right now. Come on, there's a touch of the Lord flowing through here right now, right now. God, open up my eyes, Lord. Open up my eyes, Lord. Help me, God, to see things clearly tonight. Lord, help me. Help me with my fear. Help me with my anxiety. Help me, God, with my concerns. Oh, Lord God, help me to look to you tonight, knowing that everything's going to work to my favor, that everything's going to work to my good. Come on, sister. Come on, brother. God's going to bring you out. God's going to bring you through. Come on, the enemy's going to have to sit down and watch you be blessed. The enemy's going to have to sit down and watch the blessings of God in your life. He tried to stop you, but he didn't win. He didn't succeed. You might have come in here weary. You might have come in here tired, but you're going to leave different. You're going to leave here with faith renewed tonight. God's working for me. Come on, brother, join up with a brother, sister. Join up with a sister. God, open their eyes. God, help them to see it the way you see it. God, let blessings flow. Let victory be poured out. Let strength be poured out. Come on, I feel like saying it again. It's not going to be the way the devil told you. It's not going to be the way the devil told you it's going to be. Come on, somebody needs to grab a hold of that. Come on, get your perception right. Get your eyes on the Lord. Come on, if you'll receive this tonight, God will give you the Holy Ghost. God will strengthen your spirit. God will work in your need tonight. Come on, that's it, church. Come on, we've got victory in this place tonight. There's more that's for us than what's against us.